Soulful. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, The Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo. Today I have an exceptional author to share with you, Muffy Walker. Muffy draws from personal experiences to deliver a compelling tale of resilience and connection in her book titled Memory Weavers. Memory Weavers is a deeply personal story inspired by her experiences as a psychiatric nurse and caregiver. And she says, I wanted to explore the complexities of mental health, memory, and the ways women can uplift each other through shared struggles. The novel, published by Kohler Books, is available for pre-sale and will be released April 8th. She has a master's in psychiatric nursing, an MBA, and is the founder of the International Bipolar Foundation. With a passion for mental health advocacy and storytelling, she crafts narratives that resonate deeply with readers. And I know this is going to be such a compelling conversation, so welcome to the network, Muffy.
Thank you.
All right. Well, before we get into your book, can you tell us a little about the founding of the International Bipolar Foundation? I'm interested in that.
Yes. As you mentioned, I have a master's in psychiatric nursing, and my husband's actually an MD. We have three children, and the youngest of whom was diagnosed with early onset bipolar disorder at the age of 7. That was more than 25 years ago. At the time, there were just very little resources available to us. There was one fundraising gala put on by Danielle Steele, whose son Nick Traina had bipolar disorder, but it was not a gala open to the public. It was just open to her celebrity contact list. So I thought we really need to get these resources out there for all of those caregivers and people with lived experience. I started running support groups out of my home, not as a therapist or a psych nurse, but as a mom. And I met so many incredibly educated people who were floundering just as I was. Myself and three others, Lisa Weinreb, Lynn Muto, and Karen Sheffers, decided to start the California Bipolar Foundation. As soon as it was up on the internet, we were flooded with requests from people all over and decided at that time to expand and become International Bipolar Foundation. So it is a nonprofit organization. It's based in San Diego. Everything we offer is free, globally accessible, and we know that we are reaching people in over 180 countries.
Oh,
so that is the story of International Bipolar Foundation.
My, talk about taking a personal experience and doing something positive with it. Thank you for doing that. It's clear there was a need.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What is the occurrence of young children or even adults having bipolar disorders?
The rate of young children with bipolar disorder is not that high. Mm-hmm. In fact, at the time, my son with early onset was considered a rarity. Most psychiatrists didn't even agree that there was such an illness. We actually took him to Harvard to see Dr. Biederman, who was kind of the psychiatrist who coined that occurred at such an early age. But we know that bipolar disorder affects about 2.8% of adults in the U.S. each year. That's a U.S. number. It's equal in men and women, but it does typically occur in late teens to early adulthood, not as young as my son was.
Right, right. Interesting. Well, thank you. This is something that I'm sure there will be some listeners right now who will be heading over to your site and trying to find out more because we need that kind of education. All right. Well, I mentioned that the writing of the book Memory Weavers was inspired by your own experiences. So tell us before you kind of dig into the book, but how and why did the book come about?
My mother had Alzheimer's disease. She's since passed away 15 years ago, but she had Alzheimer's disease, and she was sitting in the living room with my son, who had bipolar disorder, and the two of them were complaining about their illnesses, each thing the others was the better illness to have, and I can't remember which one of them, but one of them just, you know, off the cuff said, oh, we should trade brains, and I thought, bingo, there's my book, Trading Brains. So for three, four years, I was writing a book about a woman with Alzheimer's and a man who had since was now grown who had bipolar disorder. And it just didn't mesh because there's not really a memory issue with people with bipolar disorder. So I actually know of a girl who had a gliosarcoma, which is a brain tumor, and she didn't know it until it was far advanced. And I asked my husband, as I mentioned, who's a physician, how could she not know this? And he said, well, sometimes the tumors just kind of perk along, and then bam, they metastasize, and she had the symptoms. So I said, well, I don't want one of these tumors perking along in me. How can I find out? And he said, well, go get your genome sequence, go get a full body brain MRI. So I did that. And then I was like, this is what I'm going to write about. I'm going to write about a woman who gets her genome sequenced and finds out she has early onset Alzheimer's, which is a heritable disease. And she meets in the waiting room a young girl who was raped in college and has PTSD and debilitating panic attacks and flashbacks. And one desperately wants to hold on to her memories while the other wants only to banish hers. Mm. So that's how the book started, and that's where it ended. It took me 13 years to write it.
Well, I can imagine there's a lot there. Somewhere along the journey, did you ever think of making nonfiction or a memoir or that way rather than fictionalizing it?
No. When I was very, very active, chairman of the International Bipolar Foundation, I wrote many, many chapters in medical books, one of which is on my website, Healthy Living with Bipolar Disorder. I wrote for newspapers. I spoke all over the world, won a plethora of advocacy and patient education awards. So I didn't feel the need to write a memoir or any specific nonfiction because I was writing all in the mental health world.
Yeah, I got it. It kind of exercised both sides of your brain there.
Right.
All right, well, let's talk a bit about this because there's a lot to think about. I think about your characters and the process of developing them was probably interesting. How did you ensure that their realities, their struggles, their growth actually felt authentic?
I would say, although, as I mentioned, my mother had Alzheimer's disease and not early onset familial Alzheimer's disease, I would say about 90% of the memory memory deficit examples in my novel are directly experienced with my mother. Okay. Absolutely. 90% of them. Mm-hmm. And as a psychiatric nurse, I worked with a lot of people who had memory issues, and I actually worked with a lot of people with PTSD. Furthermore, when I was in nursing school, a girl on my floor was raped at the school, and I drew from her experience of exactly what happened during her rape. So I would say about 80 to 90% of the examples are from direct experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your background in mental health and in your work really informed your whole writing process.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Were there any challenges that you faced in writing about some of these sensitive topics?
Yes. The biggest challenge I faced, because as I said, the book is more or less about my mother. Not verbatim, but more or less about my mother. And the editors and the writing coaches and the literary agents kept saying, I want more conflict. I want more conflict. And I didn't want to turn the woman, her name is Hadley in the book, I didn't want to turn Hadley into somebody, I didn't want her to become like an alcoholic or a drug addict or to, mm-hmm. you know, leave her husband or whatever. So that I had a really hard time with that. And they kept asking for the conflict, and I couldn't give it to them until I finally came up with an idea, which I won't tell you because it'll give away parts of the book that you don't learn until you're about a third to a little more than a third in. That was the biggest obstacle for me, was adding conflict to who Hadley is.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, you already had a picture of her in your mind, I'm sure, and in your heart, representing your mom. So it probably wouldn't have felt good to do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have women supporting women throughout this book. How did you go about illustrating that power of female friendships, especially while they're both coping with trauma and adversity?
I didn't plan it. It was organic. It was natural. It just came from where I wanted these two female protagonists to be in each other's lives. I do believe that friendship and having a large supportive network of people is very important in one's health. I think we've learned that from people who research the blue zones, or even when they talk about, you know, ways to not combat, but to work along with your Alzheimer's, is you really need to have a strong supportive network. Mm-hmm. So I wanted Rachel, who is the girl in the book who was raped, to become a strong supportive network for Hadley.
Mm-hmm. And she had her own journey, obviously. And so you confront trauma in this book as well, and the importance of it.
I'm sure everybody's familiar with Jodi Picoult. Jodi writes books about moral, ethical, and health-related dilemmas. And I always felt at the end of the book that I learned a lot about the issue. Typically, she had resources involved. And I wanted so badly for this book to empower the caregivers, to empower women who had any kind of sexual trauma, that they were not to blame. There's several chapters in the book where Rachel feels that it's her fault that she was raped, and I wanted very much for the reader to take away it was not her fault. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to give away parts of the book, but it was very important for me to empower these two women.
You mentioned at the top about genome sequencing. So I'm sure your personal experience again caused you to be sure that you had to include this within your book.
Yes. So the Human Longevity Institute is in San Diego, which is where I live, and that is Craig Venter's institute. And Craig Venter and Francis Collins are the two credited for sequencing the human genome. So I was very fortunate to have it right in my backyard. And he was offering, I don't want to call it a sale, but a very, very low price to have a whole panel of studies done, genome sequencing, gut microbiome, blood tests, echocardiogram, full body and brain MRI, for this very low price, because he was gathering data mm-hmm. on all of these aspects. So I said, well, now or never. So I signed up to do it, and I have to say it really added, it really helped me in writing the book, because when I signed up to get my genome sequenced, I thought, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to find out if I'm ever going to get Parkinson's. I'm going to find out if I'm ever going to get this. And then you go for your appointment when they're going to tell you the results. You're like, do I really want to hear these results? And this is what happens in my book with Hadley and her husband, Bergen, who both get their genome sequenced.
So would you do that again?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think with all of these advances that we have in healthcare and staying on top of what we can do to either stave off or prevent illnesses, I think it's important. I've done the GRAIL, which is a test that tests for 220 different cancers that might be circulating in your body at that time. I do all the tests. I don't want to die. I want to prevent it.
Right. I didn't know much about it until recently. My husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And so we went through, three or four of those genomic testing to see if there was a problem with one of the genes that maybe then we could determine if there was a targeted therapy for it. So that was just very fascinating to me. I mean, I knew about it, but had obviously never had need to do it or never really thought about doing it. So when I saw that you had done this with your book, I was interested to know what you thought about and thinking about your future health risks.
Yes, yes. I would, as I said, I would do any test within my means that tells me what I could prevent or work with or assuage in some way.
Right. So this book is not out yet, but you've had some pre-readers already, some beta readers or pre-readers?
I did beta readers during the process of writing the book, and I'm now just about finished my endorsement phase, and I have received the most amazing endorsements. I am totally blown away by these endorsements. I have endorsements from a former director of NIH Mood and Anxiety Disorder Program, Husseini Manji. I have endorsements from the dean of the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing. I have endorsements from Dale Bredesen, who wrote the New York Times bestseller, The End of Alzheimer's. I could go on and on. I am so blessed. Every day a new endorsement comes in, and I'm just so excited. I have one coming. I spoke to the gentleman, Greg Hilgren, the other day, who started the Patriots Initiative, because, you know, in my book, Rachel gets a therapy dog and visits the veterans at the VA hospital to help with their PTSD. So he writes an endorsement from his perspective on Rachel and her dog in the book. So I'm kind of covering the gamut of anywhere from a scientist, a researcher, best-selling author, NIH, just really, I can't even tell you. I'm just so excited by these endorsements. I'm just blown away by them.
That is fantastic. I mean, to be able to get all of that pre-launch is so exciting. Yeah, that must make you feel so good to get those kind of quality people in the know that read the book and care to give such great, great and generous testimonials. That's great. I can't wait for this to come out. There's
Thank you.
So much. I was thinking about your book would be a great book club pick. When I looked at your website, I saw that you had offered some questions, and I just was amazed at the vast array of topics: genome sequencing and fate, early onset Alzheimer's, PTSD and trauma, veterans and PTSD, assisted suicide, love, rejection, and desire, letting go of anger, faith, and suffering. I mean, this would be a wonderful book club pick. They could really pick this apart.
Yes, you saw on the website, it says, spoiler alert, do not read these questions if you have not read the book, because it will give away aspects of the book. But I've started scheduling. I have events scheduled in 5 cities. And then I have book clubs that are already scheduling me either in person in the San Diego area or via Zoom. Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting. I'm very excited to do that.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best, when you can be there one-on-one with a group of people. That's when you make your best impact. So let's talk about some of those questions. We don't need to get into the spoiler alerts, but veterans and PTSD. And so you draw parallels and differences between Rachel's PTSD and that of the veterans in your book.
Yes. As I mentioned, she gets a therapy dog and she goes to the VA to help the veterans. And this also helped her in turn deal with her own PTSD from the rape.
Any of the other topics that you wanted to...
Well, I think assisted suicide is probably a difficult topic to discuss. The New York Times just came out with an article yesterday about a Belgian woman with Alzheimer's, and she wants to have someone participate in assisted suicide. So I think that it is definitely a topic that needs to be discussed. Again, I don't want to give away what happens in the book, but, I think it's a topic that needs to be discussed. It can be a sticky wicket for some, and certainly not everybody has to agree with it or disagree with it, but it's a topic just to discuss the topic. And what did their perspective on it, one way or the other, shift after reading the book?
It is a tricky topic.
And in certain countries, certain states, there are laws pro or con. And also I have another topic that can be heated one way or the other, and that is faith and suffering. And in the book, Hadley, she's bargaining with God, and she questions whether there's a God, that he would let her have this disease, and that, as I mentioned earlier, early onset Alzheimer's is heritable. So that means that her children all have a 50% risk of inheriting that gene and therefore getting the disease. So she's bargaining with God and she's asking how he could let her suffer and why, and her children possibly suffer. So that's another question that's in my discussion questions for a group to tackle. I do have an endorsement on my website from a man whose wife died of early onset Alzheimer's, and he has a whole paragraph in his endorsement where he says it raises the big question about God, and he's an extremely religious man. So it's something just to think about. Not necessarily you don't have to come away with an answer one way or the other, but maybe just think about.
Exactly. I mean, I think all good books, all good conversations should lead in that direction, that you don't have to agree, but it does provoke thought. So anything else new of another book once this gets published?
As soon as I spoke with Kohler Books, my publisher, they asked me if I had another book on the horizon because they want to continue down the road. And so I said, yes, I had two books kind of in the works. One is about a serial killer, which I'm not sure is going to happen because I don't have any degree in law or law enforcement. And so all of my questions, I don't know anything. I have to keep looking it up. And then the other one is about a person with bipolar disorder, which I can write without any research. So I probably am going to continue on with the book I'm writing about the character with bipolar disorder.
Well, it depends on your time allowance for research for the other book, just to see if you could spend time doing some research on that. That would be interesting, your other book. So, well, whatever you come up with, we will look forward to. All right. Is anything we missed that you wanted to highlight today?
No. As I mentioned, I'm doing talks in various cities. I'll just mention if you're in the Boston, New York City, San Diego, possibly Toronto areas, and you contact me via my website, I would love to tell you where and when I'm speaking, or if you have a book club that you'd like me to meet with either in person or Zoom, I'd love to do that as well.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. And so where can folks contact you and find out more?
They can contact me on my website at www.muffywalker.com, or they can contact me via email at delmarmuffy@gmail.com.
We're speaking with Muffy Walker. The website is muffywalker.com, and we're speaking about the soon-to-be-released book, Memory Weavers. Wow, thank you. I'm really looking forward to sharing it with our listeners. So keep writing and keep sharing with us.
Okay, thank you, Pat.